we love you and we thank you that we can be here today. And I thank you for the band and for the people up in the booth that every week strive to put their best foot forward. And God, and sometimes in spite of that, it just doesn't happen. But God, we know that you are praised no matter whether we heard a band instrument or a voice. You are worthy of that praise. And so we thank you for this. And we just pray a blessing in these next few minutes. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's send our kids to their class. See you guys. All right. There they go. By the way, next week, youth group starts, so we're pretty excited about that finally after all the school things are started and everything, so we're glad for that happening. All right. Well, we're in a new series today, and I've been in our previous series. It was about 6 or 7 weeks, and so I've been on that for a long time. So you say, where are you going today, Jeff? Well, for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to talk about loving God with all you got. Loving God with all you got. And today we're going to talk about loving God with all you got, your heart, your heart. When we came together 20 years ago and put ICC in the making when it was first conceived, we built this on 2 or 3 scriptures, straight scriptures right out of the Bible. We said we want to have these scriptures guide us. The first scripture was the Great Commission. Go into all the world and tell everybody, make disciples, baptize in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was one of our very crucial things that we'll never come off of. It's a scripture that guides us to this day, 20 years later. Another one was what's called the Great Commandment, and we tried to keep that part of who we are also. And so we're going to talk about the Great Commandment a little bit the next 3 or 4 weeks, and we're going to kind of tear into it and try to bring some meat that God would maybe you've never really gotten before out of the very simple scripture that you've heard about. One day there was a day where Jesus was walking through the crowds, and he was challenged by one of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were kind of the preachers of the era. And one of the teachers that day tried to trap Jesus. And they knew Jesus was teaching, and they knew the things that he was talking about. And they were trying to find some fallacy with him. They were trying to find something that was wrong with Jesus and his teachings. And so one of the smart Pharisees asked Jesus a very simple question. What is the greatest commandment of all the Old Testament? What's the greatest commandment of all the Old Testament? Without blinking an eye, Jesus said, Mark 12, which we now know, says this. Of all the commandments, he says, which is important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that's what he told this Pharisee. And that kind of shut the Pharisee up. He couldn't argue with that. Jesus said the most important thing you can do with your life is two words. Love God. There's nothing more important than that. A meeting that you got this week, a deal you've got this week, an assignment you have this week, choosing a college where you're going to go this year. Nothing's more important than loving God. Nothing. You may think it is, and it's really easy to get distracted, but Jesus said, there's nothing more important than to love God. Most of us on this planet, we try to think about that a little bit, to loving God. Most of us on this planet, we try to have decent relationships with each other. We try to. Sometimes it's harder on some days than others, right? It's harder to have a relationship with somebody that's hard to have a relationship, I'll get it. Excellence in any relationships begins with a relationship with God. And so I want to speak very frankly about that today. And that's where it all starts. Any relationship starts with a person who has, you have to have something to give it to somebody else. You have to have something. That's why so many things just don't last in our relationships don't last, because they're not built on anything. They're built on lust. They're built on love, maybe, but what their idea of love is, because we don't go to where love comes from, because the Bible says that love comes from where? It comes from God. And if we don't love God, how are we going to love anybody else? Jesus Christ tells these Pharisees, here's the program, guys. Here's where you need to go with your lives from here on out. I see the potential in you, and I hear you asking the right questions, but here's the answer. Love God, and then love Him with your all. Love Him with everything you got. I was in the eighth grade, and a coach walked into my locker room, a football coach, and he said, I watched you play. He was the high school coach. He played professional football. He said, I see great potential in you. And if you stick with the program, son, you're going to go far. And he said, you got to give it your all. The first time I ever heard anybody talk about giving your all. I'd never been challenged like that in all my life. You know, I just kind of phoned it in. I kind of just did what was supposed to do. I went and I lifted a couple weights and expected to get really big and bulky, and I ran a couple things and I did those things, and I was like, yeah, you know, I was bigger than everybody else, and so I could bowl people over. And the thing he said about to me that was really cool is he said, you love to hit people, don't you? I said, yes, I do. I love to hit people. There is nothing. I wish I was young again, because it was one of the funnest things I did. It's all I had to do was take my arms or either throw them. I loved throwing people down and around. They're like little rag dolls. I loved it. And it was the first time in my life I remember I had a passion for something. I'd tried music. I hated it. I'd tried everything. But I had this passion for sports. And it was like, oh, this is incredible. I love sports. And I loved, so I tried wrestling. I got to throw a guy around. This is good. And I tried baseball, and I hated that. I'm throwing a ball. What the heck? I'm back and forth. So I got to the point where I threw a shot put. And I did that. Sports was where I understood all meant, everything. Don't leave anything on the table. But yet, when it comes to our relationship with God, that all part, love Him with all, and that's kind of hard. It kind of gets distracted, don't we? We kind of get, there's so many things that vie for our attention, so many things. And when we hear a passage like this, we tend to go, really, Jesus, all? How is that possible? Do you understand my life? We talked about this several weeks ago. I only got 168 hours, and this is all I got. Well, Jesus says to you today, yes. See, Jesus is not wrong. Hi, Mercy. Bye, Mercy. I heard her. I scared her, I think. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. Jesus never asks you to do something that you can't do. He never does. You can have an all-out love for a sport. You can have an all-out love for a person. You can have an all-out love for entertainment. You can have an all-out love for a lot of things. But Jesus says your waking thoughts need to be about the one who made you, about the one who created you. And it just isn't so, is it? None of you in here can say, I'm giving it my all. We say, Jeff, you're awful judgmental. I don't think so, because I don't think I'm giving my all. None of us are giving our all. None of us. None of us. An all-out love means that everything you do has that in mind. And I remember that feeling in sports. I remember that when I got up in the morning and I was putting something into my mouth, I was putting it there because it was fuel that was going to make me a little bit bulkier, and it was going to do the things that I was supposed to do. I knew when I got up in the morning and I was tired that I had to go lift weights. I knew that I was going to do that because I knew the outcome of what was going to happen. Everything during my day went to that purpose to that end. And you say, Jeff, that's good, but there's so many things in this life. There's so many things that are vying for our attention. But I want you to know today that God wants us to love Him with all our hearts, all of our emotions, everything. He wants that to go on Him. Look what 1 Chronicles 28:9 says this. Serve Him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind what? The thoughts. The thoughts what? The thoughts that go behind that. The thoughts that you doing, why you do what you do. God knows your heart and thoughts anyway. He knows what you're thinking. He knows why you're phoning it in with your faith. He knows why you're just going through the motions. He knows it. And so my challenge today is to say to you guys here, let's stop phoning in our faith. Let's start taking our faith more seriously. Let's start taking this all to another level. God knows your heart anyway. Find your lane. Find your lane. Find your lane, and then love God with all your heart as you find your lane. You know what find your lane, where that comes from? It's a football term. It's a football term. Every play, did you know this? Most of you do. Every play is designed to be a touchdown. Every play that a coach draws up and every play that the defense draws up is to be a stop of that. And the idea is to be able to read each other's offense and defense. And when you do that, the one that can do that the best is incredible. So finding your lane means I'm a running back or I'm a quarterback and I've got the ball. And when I see a hole, I'm able to hit it. I'm able to hit that hole and I'm able to go where I'm supposed to go. I find my lane because oftentimes there's a breakdown, right, in football. Most every time there's a breakdown, somebody gets the jump on somebody else and snags them, gets a tackle. Somebody jumps offside. Somebody does whatever they do, and they get there, and they find a way to mess up that lane. And I want to say to you today that part of that, behind that, it's the devil, and he's trying to distract you. And he's trying to distract you with all the things that are going on in your life. The turmoil, the direction of your life, the thought life, all that. The devil is in all those things, and he wants to derail you. He wants you not to love God with your all. He doesn't even want you to think it's possible. And so if I was to ask most of you here, and you were bottom level honest, most of you would say, there is no way in Hades that I could love God with my all. No way. Because you can't, you're like, how's that possible? Except in the Spirit. Except in the Spirit. And so today, I want to give you some things I've been reading in Psalms. This summer, again, I'm in the Psalms. I read through the whole book of Psalms. And it's really kind of a fun book if you read it. I've read it so many times, and I'm getting to the point where I just know, kind of know what David's heart a little bit. Because of the readings. And David, at the beginning of Psalms, is such a crybaby. Oh, God, where are you? And he just has got all these feels and these emotions out, and they're all out in the air. And everything around him is just like, it's his feelings are on his sleeve, and he's mouthy, and he's telling God all these things, and he's asking God all these things. Then you get to the end of Psalms. And man, he's a praise machine. He is a praise machine, and he's telling us how incredible God is and who God is, what he's done in his life. And you go, what happened? And so I want to take some of those tidbits today in the next couple of weeks, and I want to throw them out to you to see if you want to grab on to any of them. And if you do, then I think that you'll be on your way to an open lane, to not phoning in your faith, to take him where God has given you the hole, and for you to be able to say, I'm going to go through it, and here's how I go through it. So let's get into that. There's several verses I'm going to go through, and I'm just going to shoot them out there. And if you want to write them down, you can. They're on Facebook. They're on our. If you miss them today, if you go to our Facebook page, they're on there. Everything that you see up here is there also. What did David do to stay in his lane? What did David do to have this love for God, God loving him? See, that I got to talk about that for just a second. When I was growing up, my church was really cool, and they were very neat, and they told me all about Jesus loving me and Jesus loving me so much. And you know, we sang all the songs, and I love him better every day, and then Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you just go all these songs, and I can remember all of them, and they were very important to me. But none of them ever talked about me being made to love God. That when God made me, he made me to love him back. And I do, but when I think about that, I think about he made me to love him, that makes it a whole bunch more special to me. And that's where I want you to see where David, I think, understood that. I want you to see what David did, and then see if you don't agree with me. David had it going on, and he understood his lane, and he understood that the reason he was a big old crybaby was because that's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get our feels out. And so that's what we're going to talk about. The first one is this. Speak out loud and get your feels out. Get everything that's in you out. Most of us are so closed up. Most of us are so caged up. Most of us are here today, and what we really feel, we just stuff down inside, and we move on to whatever else is around us. David, not so much. Psalms 3:4 says this. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. When's the last time you cried to God? When's the last time you said, God, I need you. God, this is not going on. God, and you just sob, and you don't know why you're sobbing. You don't know why you're crying. You don't know why you're sad, but you're doing it because something in your heart just says, cry. So when you talk to God, often, most of us, we talk to him, and it's like the mute button is on. You ever done that in your phone, and you're talking to somebody, all of a sudden you hit the mute button, or you're across from somebody, and they're saying something, and a big noise is going on, and they're doing this, and all you're hearing is nothing. You know, that's kind of how it is with God, I think, sometimes. And we tend not to listen. We tend not to listen for God. David had this quality of being able to tell God what was happening in his life. He did that because he was able to immediately to get it out there. And then what happened? God would impact his heart. God would touch his heart. And his heart would become larger. And he would go, oh, that's what God is doing. When's the last time God impacted your heart? When's the last time? For most of us, our hearts aren't always impactable. For most of us, our hearts are a little dull. For most of us, our hearts are a little apathetic. For most of us, we just don't really care so much about stuff. And that's hard to say. But so much happens. How in the world can I care about it all? You can't. You can't. So he works through this all the way through Psalms, and he's got this belly-aching mode. And he comes to the end, and he's got this incredible praise machine that he's doing. So what else did he do? If you look at Psalms 3:7, he spoke to God about his feelings. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. I love this part. Strike all my enemies on the jaw and break the teeth of the wicked. Ouch! Ouch! He was serious. Break the teeth of the wicked. He was specific. I need you to break the teeth of the wicked. Dang, gone. Speak to God about it. Why will you hold him in? He knows anyway. I'm struggling, God. I'm a horrible parent. I'm struggling, God. I'm not a good grandparent. I'm struggling, God. I'm not a great mate. I'm struggling, God. I'm all alone. He wants to hear your feelings. God loves you, and he wants to hear about everything going on, just like you want to hear what's going on in your kids' lives, and the people that you love. You want to hear. You want to know what's going on. That's why parents get so frustrated, teenagers. That's why parents get so frustrated, kids, when they come home from school and say, what'd you do? Nothing. Was it a good day? Yeah. What'd you do? Nothing. They want to hear your heart. Well, I don't want to give it to them because they're going to criticize me. Ooh. Or they're going to get on me. See, God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that, but we as parents, we sometimes do. Speak to God about your feelings. The next one, speak to God about your weaknesses. I am poor. I am weak, yet the Lord is thinking about me right now. What a good attitude. I am poor and I'm weak, but God's thinking about me right now. I'm on his mind. David was thinking that. How did he know that? Because he was visualizing. I'm on God's mind. Oh my God, you are my helper. You are my Savior. Come quickly and save me. Please don't delay. What a conversation. That was an incredible conversation of somebody who loves somebody and trusts somebody else. Speak to God about your weaknesses. Talk to him. And lastly, speak to God about his strength. Psalms 29:9. Speak about his strength. The voice of the Lord spins and he topples the mighty oak. Sounds like a tornado, doesn't it? It strips the forest bare. They whirl and sway beneath the blast. But in his temple, all are praising. Glory, glory to the Lord. Whew. He spoke to God about how strong he was. Listen, here's the point I want to make to this, okay? Please don't check out. Some of you, I see you looking around. Listen, don't check out. When was the last time you talked to God about his strength? When was the last time you said, God, you're so strong? You see, the tendency on our part is this. The tendency on our part is to talk about how big our problems are. And then you know what happens to God? He becomes this small little chump on the side. This small little entity. Well, I might pray about it. Really? Really? David had an incredible way of exaggerating God's, his goodness and his greatness as much as he possibly could in his mind. He takes trees and he rips them to shreds. That's how powerful my God is. He is not a God that does not hear. He is not a God sitting in heaven picking his nose. He is a God that knows that I hurt. He is a God that hears my cry. That's somebody that knows that they were made to love God. That's a big, big God. I dare you to exaggerate the greatness of God. Try it sometime. Try to exaggerate how good he is. I don't think you can over-exaggerate. I don't think you can. And if you can do it, then I don't think you really know that you were made to be loved by God. You don't understand it. You don't understand the care and the mercy and the love that he has for you. You don't understand it all. That leads us to the second thing. You say, boy, that was long. Okay, I got two more and they're both short. Here we go. Second one. What did David do that gave us that open lane, that shows us that he understood the open lane concept? He pictured his presence, God's presence, and he pictured God's action. That's why we have a hard time even thinking about God sometimes. Look at Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lay down by these streams. And he goes into this incredible detail. He pictured it. He pictured it and he spoke it. He spoke it out loud. And then he understood that he was one of those sheep that was there by that brook. It made so much sense. Here's where we get tangled up, church. Our phones and TV and computers have taken away our imaginations. We have no imagination anymore. I'm as bad about this as anybody. I can go and I don't think about anything anymore. I just Google it. How many feet do a, you know, are there on a whatever, 66? Okay, there it is. I just Google it. I have no imagination anymore. I don't care. I just Google. There it is. Yeah, don't have to think about it. Move on to something else because I'm so busy. Can you feel me? Can you feel me? All right. You don't have to, but it'd be nice if you did. Picture God's presence and his actions. That's what David did. That's how he knew he was loved and he was created to love God. Thirdly, try to look at yourself through God's eyes. Try to look at yourself through God's eyes. That's the hardest thing to do. That is so hard because most of us in here, we have perception problems. We have perception problems about how we look at ourselves. We think we're too this, too tall, too big. Too wide, we're too dumb, we're not this, we're this, we're that. We have this horrible perception of ourselves. And we forget, like David, we forget what David said about God and he thought about God, where he says in Psalms 139, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." And what did David said? "I praise you because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made." Can you say those words and really believe them? Can you really believe them? Or do you just say that and go, that's nice. But I got these things right here. Or I got this problem where, you know, my hair is all greasy and my complexion, you know, it's got this thing here and I don't like it. You know, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you really hear that? That you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. You see, when you recognize that, it draws you to him. It draws you to him because you understand that when he was making you, you were on his mind. When he was making you, the most thing he wanted to do is just have a relationship with you, with nobody else. How's that possible? There's 6 billion or whatever billion. No, I don't know. But that's God. When he made you fearfully and wonderfully. And God also shows us through David that what David thought of God was such an important part of his journey to that open lane, to that lane where he could get through and understand how incredible he was of a man. That God made, and then God later said, "What he's a God, he's a man after God's own heart," because he understood who he was, he understood his place. How different would we be if we can start to talk and see and sense like David? David reminds us also in another place, in another scripture, in Psalm 17:8, he says this. "You are the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye." What a beautiful sentiment right now. I want you to think that. Would you say that with me right now? I'm his apple. I'm his apple of his eye. I'm the apple of his eye. What does that mean? Well, there's all kinds of things. It's an old sentiment. But he's using that to show us how precious we are. You know what the eye is? The eye is one of the most important things. Come here, Hurry, quickly. Stand right here. I'm going to embarrass you. I'm sorry, I'm way ahead of time. Okay, stand right there. You flinched. Why did you flinch?
You were going to hit me?
Yeah, you were going to, because I was going to. We protect the eye more than anything else. I saw your hands. Your hands started to do this, but you didn't do it because you knew I wasn't going to hit you. But what if I did? You know, see, stay there, don't go away. So do you understand what I'm saying? We protect our eyes at all things. So God says, "You're the apple of my eye. You're the apple of my, you are the most precious thing." That's every time that something comes, you can sit down, thank you, you did good. Every time something comes at us, yeah, you can give me a hand, go ahead. He got embarrassed in front, he didn't really get embarrassed. The first thing that something comes to your head, what do? You do this, you shield. You don't care about your arms. You don't care if your hands get hit. You care that your face and your eyes get hit because that's important. That's how important you are. You are the apple of his eyes, and he protects you, and he cares about you, and he wants everything that's in your life to come to him. The truth about the pupil of your eye, it will protect your eye. He protects your eye at all costs. God is protecting you. He loves you, and he wants you to love him with your all. All these things come together to make an impact. All these things come together to show us how important our relationship of loving God is above anything else, of loving him with our all, with all of our heart, with all of our heart. Lastly, the last thing that David did is he asked God questions. He asked God in Psalm 63 a question like this. I'm very upset, Lord. How long will it be? You ever ask that question? Anybody here ask that question? All right. I know you guys have asked the question. How long, God, before I get married? How long before I make my decision? How long? How long? How long? How long? How long? You ever been around a four-year-old? Why is the sky blue? Because it's an atmosphere. Well, it's an atmosphere. And it goes on and on and on. Pretty soon you're going to blow your head off. God doesn't do that with your questions. He doesn't do that when you ask why or when or how, but that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to ask those questions. It is okay to question God. He has big friggin' shoulders. He'll take all your doubts. He'll take everything that's on you that you're thinking about, and he doesn't care. But I haven't seen you lately. See? And it doesn't matter. He doesn't care. I don't even know if I believe him. He doesn't care. Why aren't you acting? I don't know. He doesn't care. Ask God, why have you been so silent, God? Why is this suffering coming into my life right now? Why did you take? Why did? And it's all those why questions and when and where and how. And God says to you, do you love me? And that's what he's saying to some of you today. Do you really love me? And if you do, do you love me with your all? Or do you just love me with a little? I think he would never ask you to do something he can't help you do. And so he's asking you today to love him with all your heart. What does that look like? It looks different for all of us. It's not about truth or anything like that. It's about what God has called you to do. And if you don't know what that is, then it's time you figured that out. It's time you figured that out. Ask God when, how, why, because God can handle it. He's the God who made the universe. He's the God who made you. He's the God who will bring you through whatever it is you go through and are going through or will ever go through. Man, would you come as we pray? Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for David's griping. And it shows us that you don't mind that we gripe a little bit. But God, we want to be men and women and teenagers that make an impact in this world. We want to be people who make a difference. We don't want to be the kind of people who are apathetic, the people who are just going through the motions. We want to be the person that you made us to be. And so, God, would you help us to get a glimpse today of what it means to love you with our all, with our heart. God, help us to say these things that David said. Help us to picture who you are. Forgive us when we make you small and our problems so big. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. During our ministry time today, I'd like you just maybe to pick one of those things that we talked about today. So, well, I don't remember them. I know God put something on your heart, something he engraved in your spirit and your heart today. And I want you to grab onto that, and I want you to say, God, here's the area. Here it is. Christ says to you today, this on August the 21st, I know the potential in you because I made you. I know what you can do. Now get busy being and doing what I made you to do. I love you with my all. Will you love me with your all? Where's the step that God's calling you to do today? If you're here today and you've never made that first time decision, that choice to say to God, God, I love you and I want to follow you. We have some people in the back that'll be glad to pray with you, or see me after the service and be glad to pray with you also. See what God does as our band leads us in this time. Let's pray. Jesus, we just pray that you'll move right now through your Holy Spirit, that you'll just do a work in us. There's one here today that looks at themselves somehow as substandard, as somebody who's not worth anything, who's somebody that has to be skinny to be something, or has to be buff to be something, or somebody has to be whatever it is. God, just let them know that they're all right, that they're enough, that you have a plan for them, and that plan is for them to love you with all their heart. So God, let's start there today as a church. As simple as that is, it is so hard. But help us to love through your Holy Spirit with our all. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd get the lights, please. Brandy, come on up if you would, and we're going to have a moment by the hub while she's doing that.